Would you still love me if I was an adventurous 5-mana 5/4 worm? Kira!
Whoops! Tragically, I slipped into a black hole! Maya. And today, we're talking about post-rotation standard and our first impressions.
Woo-hoo. We have spun around. We have rotated.
Well and truly. With the band cycle and then rotation and then Edge of Eternities, there is so much cool shit going on right now. It's so exciting.
I'm really, really fascinated with the ecosystem that has developed in standard post-ban and now post-rotation. I will say it does seem as though the difference between post-ban and post-rotation is very minimal, but that, like, encompassing within that, because these events happen so close to one another, there is somewhat of a difference in terms of the state of removal in standard. But overall, the two look fairly similar. So what are we looking at right now?
Well, it's kind of interesting, right? Because I'm really enjoying standard right now, broadly speaking anyway. I think the ban and the rotation, like, has done wonderful things for, like, the diversity of decks in the format. There are a few clear tier one decks, but there is also, like, a very healthy smattering of tier two options. There's also rogue decks that are picking up steam again, and people are, like, very clearly picking up their favorite decks and iterating on them and sort of bringing them to the front. So we see the sort of structure of the tier two decks fluctuating quite a bit, which is such an exciting place to be. For the most part, though, the decks are weaker, slower, and clunkier than they were pre-rotation, with each deck just having a little bit more of that, like, gear crunching, which is, to be fair, kind of what we expected. Less sets means lower power level decks, even if the power level of the decks is still reasonably high. So what does the post-rotation meta actually look like?
The post-rotation meta, as I just said, is not all that different to the post-ban meta. The top decks are Dimir Midrange, Is It VV Combo, Azorius Control, and Pixie and Otters kind of close on the tails at the kind of bottom end of tier one right now. So if you want to be playing to win right now, what should you be playing?
Honestly, I am surprised to be saying this.
Uh-huh.
But I think the answer is Dimir Midrange.
Whoa.
With the rotation of the best black removal in the format and Shieldred and Fairy Mastermind, I kind of thought that this deck was going to take a real hit. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to see the end of Dimir Midrange being a tier one deck in standard for at least a set or two. But it turns out that the format has kind of weakened around the deck as well. And it's weakened around the deck enough that Shoot the Sheriff and Bitter Triumph are just sort of entirely serviceable cards. They're not that much of a downgrade from the Anoint with Affliction and the Go for the Throat that we were playing beforehand. That and the core strength of the deck, which is the, you know, the evasive creatures plus Kaido plus Cat, it still remains one of the strongest engines in the format.
Cat here is Enduring Curiosity. The shorthand for the enduring creatures is Cat, Sheep, Deer, Snake,
Dog.
And Dog. You can tell out of all of them which is the least played, because it took me a while to think about it. It's Dog. Dog is the least played.
Come now, Sipsic Ceremony Doggo, it's fine.
Seeing
more play than Enduring Tenacity for sure.
It's true. It's seeing far more play than Snake. This is true.
Although Snake was in that Mono Black combo deck for a bit, right? Is that still legal? Is that deck good again?
Deck is probably actually doing fine, sure. To be honest. Could be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Maya, if Dimir Midrange is the best deck and the most winnable deck, what deck are you going to be playing?
To the surprise of maybe no one, I'm going to be playing Pixie.
Woo! I'm cashing in on my lottery ticket. I'm cashing in. I knew it.
You knew it? Yeah. Look, I think Pixie, despite the Hopeless Nightmare ban, is kind of one of the biggest winners from EOE.
Unequivocally.
Like, its mana got literally infinitely better. Like, its mana now is better than it ever was kind of while this deck has existed in the format. I think it went from a synergy tempo deck to something much closer to, like, the mid-range variants of Pixie, which I love, right? Which I am famous for enjoying. Give me an Orzhov Pixie with a splash of blue. Hell yeah. It's also kind of well-positioned to make use of probably the best card in the format, which is Kaito. Cryogen Relic enables a cheap and very effective card draw engine that is repeatable and very hard to beat for a deck that is trying to fight with you card for card. Tragic Trajectory is maybe just the best removal spell in the format.
Currently, yeah.
And for Cosmogrand Zenith, helps make up for the pressure that you lost from losing Nightmare. Also, Cosmogrand Zenith, having played with it a bit now, completely obscene. Absolutely filthy disgusting.
Absolutely busted card.
I want to see a version of Dimir Midrange that instead of being blue-black is blue-white, is playing all the white removal, and is playing Cosmogrand Zenith with Cat.
Interesting.
I think that would be... With Enduring Curiosity, with Coastal Piracy. I think that would be insane. You just make a bunch of 1-1s, remove all their creatures, and attack and draw 45 cards.
Nice.
Yeah, I reckon so. I think Jennifer Rose might, you know, draw and quarter me for that statement, but I think it should exist. What about you? What are you playing?
I am still sitting in this corner of not really knowing what I like in this format right now. That being said, I own an Esper Pixie deck.
You owning standard cards?
I own a Temur Otters deck. I own a mono green landfall deck. And I have the pieces for a VV Cauldron deck. Because I see these as good decks. I know that they're good decks in the format. I know that they're playable. I know that they're good. But nothing is currently speaking to me. I don't feel... Like, I love playing Esper Pixie. Don't get me wrong. I have been jamming Esper Pixie constantly on Arena right now. And I have the Esper Pixie deck built in Standard, in paper specifically. And I like it. I understand the tempo of the deck. I understand the pace of the deck. I understand how to play it. But it doesn't feel like my deck. You know, Pixie feels like your deck. This is the deck that I associate with you. I know you play Pixie. I know you love Pixie. You've been a Pixie truth the whole time. And frankly, you were right. You were ahead of the meta. But there's nothing currently that I'm like sinking my claws into going, yeah, that's my standard deck. I have seen interesting lists come up, and a facet of this new, you know, post-ban, post-rotation standard is the innovation. There are a lot of interesting decks coming out because the state of removal is so tense right now. It's very fragile. You can get away with a lot. And there have been, you know, Ouroboroid +1/+1 counter decks that I've seen that I've gone, that's really interesting. There was a deck that Robert Taylor just played with that's a Simic Landfall Tifa deck. Like, I've only seen Tifa in mono green, but there's a Simic deck that is making use of it that I'm like, oh, let's have a look at that later. But I'm still feeling the itch of like, there's something that's missing. There's something that's not quite on the level of what I'm looking for in standard right now.
Have you tried the blue-white control deck yet?
I have not tried the blue-white control deck yet because I don't think I'm ready for my villain arc. Because I have played against blue-white control as the Pixie player and have just been so sad.
Let me pitch you something that a friend of mine recently brought my attention to. So Pinnacle Starcage.
Yeah.
We know what that one does. One white-white. When it enters the battlefield, you exile all creatures and artifacts with mana value 2 or less under the Pinnacle Starcage, and then you can pay 6 to blow it up and make some robots.
I'm pretty sure it's 8.
Oh, yeah, did he say it? So many. There's a couple of important interactions I want to talk to you about. The first one is the interaction with 3 Steps Ahead. Pinnacle Starcage is an artifact.
Oh, and you can make a copy of it.
You can make a copy of it at instant speed.
That is very good, actually.
Do you know what it doesn't say? Non-land.
Oh, so if they've animated like their Restless Lands or their Soulstones, ooh. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? Okay, this is going to sound really funny. I said I'm not ready for my villain arc, so I'm not going to play blue-white control. You know what deck I did really want to play?
What did you want to play?
I wanted to play Land Destruction.
There's a Land Destruction deck in this format?
I think you can do it.
How? What are you playing?
It's deeply upsetting, but I think you could because I think more and more people are playing 3-color decks. The Esper Pixie deck that I play runs 1 basic land. It's sure. An island. And I think with Ice Till Explorer and things like Demo Field was printed in Foundations.
Oh, amazing. Oh. What's the other one?
Volatile Fault.
What does it do?
One tap, sacrifice Volatile Fault, destroy target non-basic land an opponent controls. That player may search their library for a basic land, put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle. You create a treasure token. So you lose a land entirely with Volatile Fault.
But if you're playing Ice Till Explorer,
but if you're playing Ice Till Explorer, it doesn't really matter if you can play lands from your graveyard. I think
a return to the mono white days. That would be so cool. But in this case, I guess it's mono green.
You could play mono green. I think you could also play a Gruul version of this.
What are you splashing the red for?
World Souls Rage. Because then you can put all the lands on your graveyard back into the
Me likes. Are you on Analyst?
Yeah, I think you should be. You probably should be. I'm projecting. Okay, come close. This is all getting cut out.
Okay, so
we haven't had Overgrown Tomb or Blood Crypt printed, but we did get Stomping Ground. But eventually Jund will be really good again. And you could play like a Jund land destruction land combo deck with like Iridescent Vine Lasher.
Good is such a strong word.
Hey, come close to me. Come close to me. Don't speak ill of Jund.
I love Jund.
I love Jund so much.
Jund is goated. But Jund, if you're going to play Jund, just like play the good two drops.
Man, come close.
I'm listening.
What good two drops?
Shoot the sheriff. Bit of trial by guess.
I'm not saying don't play those cards. Anyways, I'm gonna cut all of that out.
Why? Excellent.
That's great. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's gonna get cut out for the minute. The thesis of what I'm trying to say is there's nothing quite yet that I love. There's nothing yet that's mine. Like I was ready to hop on to the Orzhov Pixie train pre Hopeless Nightmare ban. And frankly, after playing Esper Pixie a lot, it was a very correct decision to ban Hopeless Nightmare. Anyone can be as mad about it as they want. It was a very, very, very correct decision. Even though we lost Temporary Lockdown and you lost a lot of that infinite, you know, quote unquote, infinite value engine from putting your own enchantments underneath the Temporary Lockdown, it was a completely correct decision to get rid of Hopeless Nightmare. Holy moly, that card is not okay for a common, for a one mana common.
Yeah, the lockdown looping was never the strong part of that deck. The strong part of that deck was being able to play Hopeless Nightmare three times and then attack with a 2/2 three times and you won the game.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
For anybody doing maths, I'm 8 off.
I'm 8. Don't pay attention to the maths.
Maths is for chumps. This is why I play mid-range.
But that being said, I'm still waiting to be surprised by something. I'm still waiting to be impressed by something. I'm hoping that there's going to be something that we see. Like, dare I say, I'm hoping that there's going to be something in the Spider-Man set that will really, you know, make something interesting and make something fun in the format.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope there's not another Vivi.
Or even in the Avatar, the Last Airbender set. I hope that there is something really interesting in the keywords that we've seen, like with the firebending, waterbending, earthbending stuff. I hope there's something really, really cool in that. You know, I'm hoping Earthbending is landfall related. I love landfall. The first deck that I ever played in Standard was a Gruul landfall deck from the Zendikar Rising era. And I loved that deck so much. And I'm kind of hoping to go back to my roots, so to speak.
To your Golgari roots?
To my Insidious roots.
Ah. Yeah, well, maybe a deck to watch then is Tima Otters.
I think... This segment of the show is sponsored by Dylan.
Yes, it's true. I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit about Otters.
Please. Here's your soapbox.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So the new innovation with Tima Otters is to sort of do away with the talent looping part of the deck. So that's looping Storm Chaser's talent and Get Out. In favor of consistency and a new OTK, which is a one-turn kill, using Storm Splitter. It's very, very powerful, especially with the recent drop in Exile removal, especially with less red going around in general and less copies of Anoint, given that it rotated. The less red, obviously, decreasing the number of copies of Torch the Tower. The version I would keep an eye on, however, is the talent mid-range version that is still using Storm Chaser's talent and cards like Stock Up. Storm Splitter is strong, and it's very strong in a race, but talent plus stock up hasn't kind of gotten any worse, especially as a sculpting and drawing engine, and especially as decks get slower. Get Out still enables the infinite, but it will be less necessary as the Storm Splitter version can kill you the turn it's deployed. It's weak into opposing combo decks, the mid-range version, but I expect this deck to beat up basically on any deck that is aiming at beating Dimir. And that means anything from Control to Pixie. I think having slightly more of a mid-range angle, being able to sculpt a little more, being able to win out on card advantage, and being able to play to the board in the same way that the old Otters deck used to be able to do with Storm Chaser's Talent and Valley Floodcaller will prove a better choice in the long term as the format starts to evolve into something a little bit more controlling.
The deck is really cool. The deck is really, really interesting. Relying on Storm Splitter as your, as you said, one turn kill, as this engine of just, cool, you've tapped out, great, I'm going to win this turn then, is a really interesting line because Storm Splitter was not, up until recently, an inclusion in Otters as an archetype at all. It was, you know, the Thundertrap Trainer, Valley Flood Caller, Storm Chaser's Talent line of tap, untap your Otters until they are big enough to kill you. And Storm Splitter in this position is really interesting. If you can sequence, I believe the number is 5 spells, you know, 5 instants or sorceries, you win the game. And that is due to the exponential nature of Storm Splitter. Storm Splitter, for those who are not familiar, is a 4-mana, 3 and a red, Otter Wizard with haste. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, create a token that's a copy of Storm Splitter. Exile that token at the beginning of the next end step. And so the plan here is cast one sorcery, you have 2 Storm Splitters. Cast 2, you have 4. Cast 3, you have 8. Cast 4, you have 16. Cast 5, you have 32 Storm Splitters. Generally, in this 20 life format, 32 Otters, give or take a couple of blockers, is enough to kill your opponent in one turn. The other reason this deck is a little bit more fragile is because of Enduring Vitality. Enduring Vitality is a key part of the combo. The ability to tap your creatures to add 1 color of any mana is very important to getting you to that 32, like, terminal overload. It's really necessary for that critical mass of Storm Splitters, and that will ultimately win you the game.
The critical mass element is important because you're using the Storm Splitter tokens, which each have haste, to tap using the Enduring Vitality. I have a theory that when the last 2 Shocklands in the Jund cycle are printed, there will be an Insidious Roots version of this deck that is using the mana tap ability of Insidious Roots on a harder to interact with permanent at 2 mana, and the natural dig from the tokens generated from Insidious Roots with cards like Overlord of the Balemurk to sort of turbo out this token strategy and have this as an alternate win con. But for now, while the mana is terrible, this is purely hypothesizing. But yeah, Storm Splitter is really good because it linearized the deck. It made it quicker, it made it more efficient, and it made it more consistent. I think that is not what this deck needs right now, and it will slow down. So keep an eye on it, and keep an eye specifically on the versions that Dylan is playing.
Dylan is the innovator of this deck. She is brilliant.
The aficionado, if you will.
I have not seen anyone play Otters as an archetype the way that she does. And Dylan, most recently, you would have seen her on coverage, at the top table on coverage at RC9, playing Sultai Otters, which is the blue-black-green version of this deck. And she was incredible with this deck. She was absolutely fantastic with this deck. And so she has, you know, cornered this archetype, and she understands it incredibly well, and she has, like, hyper, you know, managed it into this really explosive, really powerful deck. There is no one that I trust more to play this deck with, like, 100% win rate than Dylan.
Dylan is to Otters what I was to Orzhov Pixie.
Dylan is the Otters player, and she deserves all of the accolades because she's brilliant.
Dylan is amazing. Go check out her deck lists.
We will link also. She has a great online presence. We will link to her as well. She's also furnished so many people with wonderful sideboard guides on how to play these decks. It's brilliant. Well, she is a Sydney side Magic player, much to my chagrin. I wish she was here in Melbourne. She's a great player.
So yeah, that is what Standard's looking like at the moment.
It's pretty
and
cool.
I'm loving it, honestly. I love a melting pot. I love seeing the decks with innovation and seeing tier 2 and tier 3 fluctuate so much. It's just a good time.
It's really also a great indicator of how much room for growth there is in the format. This format is not solved. This format is in its infancy. This new Edge of Eternities, you know, end of 2025 Standard format. There's a lot still coming. We've still got Spider-Man and we've still got Avatar The Last Airbender. There are things that are going to change significantly. We are likely going to see more removal, of course, printed into the format. We need, you know, we're going to be looking for our Go for the Throat replacements. We're going to be looking for our Cutdown replacements and our Gixxes Command replacements. You know, we've already got our Sunfall replacement in Beyond the Quiet, but, you know, what's the next Sheldred? You know, is it Vivi or is it something we haven't seen yet? And so I love how much things have changed. I love how things are still kind of unsettled. There's a world in which as well we see a lot of these tier 3 decks, like maybe Mono White Angels finds a way to rise to the top. It's really exciting, and I can't wait to see what comes next. This episode is sponsored by Wizards of the Coast. A reminder to all Magic players that Standard Playseason rewards are available at your participating Australia and New Zealand WPN stores until September 18th. Participate in 4 eligible events to receive exclusive Edge of Eternities rewards, including an Endstone magnet and faction patches. Available on a first-come, first-serve basis while supplies last. Now, let's warp.
With all that said, that is all that we have time for today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you can keep track of all our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find Kira on the same platforms at kirabobira.jpg on Instagram and kirabobira on Blue Sky, and myself at MayaMTG. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space, and until next week, remember, haste begets blunder. Be patient. As the sun rises, you will yet earn your second blade.